The name of the triune God, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. As we continue services, I shall read for our services from Hebrews, from the 12th chapter, the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. First, at the beginning of this sermon, I would like to bring greetings to you service guests from my previous mission trip. When we are here before a text like this that talks about all the witnesses around us, here at summer services, we can experience that we are not alone. We have many dear brothers and sisters here who we know and who we have met, and with who we have traveled together with here in the kingdom of God. I was on a mission trip in Russia, near the Ural Mountains, around 2 months ago. This service trip has come strongly to mind before our summer services. Some years ago, brothers made a mission trip to that area, and a new congregation was born. We drove hundreds of kilometers to different localities, and there were some service guests. They had lots of questions, and they wanted to listen what we had to say. There were also a few children, boys and girls, at services. Also, they came from tens of kilometers away. The previous services had been several months ago, and they wanted to come to services. And they also had a wish that young people from Finland would come here to Russia and we could have a camp. This was the wish of these believing young people. At one place, there were four believing young people. At another place, two young people. Recently, I was at a big boys' camp here in Finland. It was a big camp, and we lived together for 3 days. When we were planning the camp, we were thinking about how the camp is going to turn out. We were worried about the weather, but it seemed like the clouds circled around our camp. With these boys, we paused before the Word of God several times, and we thought about why does it pay to believe. Here in time, we face many kinds of troubles, challenges. Brother and sister, has it sometimes felt like you're so busy that it's hard to even make it to services? You have so many hobbies and other temporal tasks that take up time. We have many challenges with using our time. When we are asked to do work of the kingdom of God, sometimes we think that I wish somebody else would go. Now I ask you, brother and sister, now that you have been doing work of the kingdom, when you have been given the strength to go and serve the kingdom of God, like we were at that big boys' camp. At the end of the camp, we were saying farewell, fathers to each other. We lamented how wonderful the camp was. All the boys were obedient and did pretty much everything we asked them to do. Not exactly everything, but almost. Enough to give us fathers a good feeling. God allowed many of you boys and girls to go to those camps. God has given us the opportunity to have these kinds of camps where they can be rooted into the kingdom of God and where they can learn how we live in the kingdom of God and what is the most important in life. In this text, we heard, "Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." What does the writer of the letter to the Hebrews mean by this? We remember a very familiar part in the Bible before this text, where the history of the Bible is gone over. How we are told how God has all the power and God can help us and God can help us in all our challenges and troubles that we have in our life or in our congregations. First, the basis of faith, that through faith we understand that the world was created with the Word of God, and that everything that we see was made from emptiness. Isn't it so, dear brothers and sisters, boys and girls? Isn't it wonderful that God has created us? God has given us life. We wouldn't be here if God wouldn't have seen so to be fit. You, Matti, Terttu, or Liisa, whoever you may be, God knows you by your very own name. God is so wonderful that He knows even every thought that we have. He knows what we want in our hearts. He wants to personally come and speak to us so that we can trust in God's goodness. We have a good God. God loved us so much. We have heard this many times. God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that no one who believeth in him shall perish. But you can have your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood and be comforted. Isn't this comforting? This basis of faith that our Heavenly Father takes care of us, and through faith we understand that all of us, children of God, are important to God. The Bible, or this letter to the Hebrews, tells us that without faith, you're not worthy to God. When I was thinking about this text, when I was asked to speak here at Summer Services, my first thought was that a wish that we would remember to trust in God. We don't want to go weary or tired in our journey of faith. We want to trust that God can help us. How can we trust in this way? It comes from our personal faith. We believe that we have a good God who knows all our needs and he can help us. And through faith, we can trust that our life and my footsteps here in life can be helped by God. No one knows what tomorrow will bring. For that reason, it is important that we make promises today that I want to believe. I want to believe all my sins forgiven. That gospel is preached from the kingdom of God. Here we are told with a few examples about the history of the Bible, about the Old Testament, how previous saints believed. It begins from Noah. There weren't many believers at the time of Noah. I could ask from you, but at least myself, I have had doubts that could the kingdom of God be so small. The group of believers wasn't big during the time of Noah either. Many had given up faith. People lived in sin. Only 7 people went into the ark built by Noah. The ark was built on dry land, and many people asked, "Why do you do that? Why are you building an ark? Your faith seems pretty weird." Are we asked today, "Why do you believe that way?" We are asked the same questions today. When God's Spirit feeds us, and when we can hear the gospel personally, that we can believe our sins forgiven, it gives us strength and helps us trust in God, that he will take care of us. It is told about Abraham, who left his father's home to go to the promised land. In other sermons, it has been remembered what life was like in the home of Abraham. It talks about how Abraham had a promise that he will have a child, offspring of which will grow a great nation. You remember how Sarah became pregnant when she was old and had a son named Isaac. Abraham was given the task that when this boy has grown up, this boy has to be sacrificed. Abraham trusted that God can bring Isaac back to life, even from ashes. And so it happened that Isaac was not sacrificed, but there was a lamb in the bushes which was taken to be sacrificed. This is an example for us of faith, the faith of Abraham. It is talked about Joseph, about Moses, how God has prepared children of God for different tasks at different times. There has always been the kingdom of God in the midst of people. Not many people say, I have plenty of strength. In the Bible, children of God have always felt that I am the weakest, I am the poorest. Isn't there a better one? But God is strong in the weak ones. Dear brother and sister, when you travel in this kingdom, I believe that you often feel that I doubt that my neighbors even know that I'm a believer. But nevertheless, we do stick out in this world with our life. God knows whose heart he wants to approach. Any one of us might be approached by the opportunity, might be approached by somebody asking, how do you believe? Before this sermon, I was talking with a reporter, first about temporal work, but then he brought up my upcoming sermon, and he asked that, how do you prepare for your sermon? And I told him how we prepare. First, we pray that God would open his word. We have to pray. And sometimes, with feelings mixed with fear, we feel in our hearts that we are weak, weak children of God. As children of God, we come before an open Bible, and we pray that God would show what is the most important so that we can continue endeavoring in faith as children of God. That is why we come often before an open Bible without a written speech. We try to trust that God will give what is needed. But we also need to be content that God has given everyone gifts, and to everyone only a little crumb. No one has so great gifts that he is better than everyone else. But we are equal in the kingdom of God. Think about this, you little boy and girl. If your father or mother or brother or sister ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? It is just as powerful when you preach sins forgiven compared to when a minister preaches sins forgiven. As children of God, when we preach the gospel, all of us who have sins forgiven have this power to preach the forgiveness of sins. This is such a great gift. Let's hold on to this gift. I know that this sermon is being listened to around the world. Many of our friends have had to stay home. People have been ill or old, or because of their work, they have been able to come. But even you can hear the message from the Good Shepherd that your sins are forgiven. You can believe your sins forgiven in the place where you are. At the same time, we preach this gospel to unbelievers. We want to preach this gospel of grace to an unbeliever, to a person who is in distress, who is wanting to believe, the burden of sin forgiven. The Heavenly Father approaches you and says that you can believe your sins forgiven. Would you believe this gospel? The most wonderful thing happens. You can be removed from the power of the enemy of souls and enter the kingdom of God. Our text in the Bible tells us about sin. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Have you felt that the enemy of souls hasn't left us alone? We have two parts. When we read the Word of God, we notice that the kingdom of God has always been a battling congregation. When have they been confronted by idol worshiping, the idol Baal, and how God saw this to be bad, and how worshiping idols has led astray believers. Even in this time, we can see many kinds of acceptance of sin, sexuality, and sin in the internet. We have to be careful and pause and think, what is suitable for me? Can I watch this kind of a program or this kind of a video? I have often thought about you, young boys and girls. You are confronted with different kinds of challenges, which we didn't have when I was young. When I was a little boy, we didn't have these kinds of videos. TVs were on their way when I was in my 20s. Modern technology has made it possible to transfer all kinds of information, and it also helps the work of the kingdom of God. These services can be heard through the internet around the world. These services are translated into 8 different languages and spread throughout the world. At the same time, the enemy of souls has brought many kinds of temptations and sins. There have always been all kinds of temptations and dangers of sin. And we want to pray that God would protect us. We have often had to repent from sin. This is what the writer of the letter to the Hebrews encourages us to. Encourages us to repent and put away sin, which makes the way slow. That is why it is important that we pause before the Word of God. We can put away our weight and our sins. We can put them on the altar of grace. That altar of grace is so low that everyone here can believe personally this gospel. You can believe in Jesus' name and atonement blood, all sins forgiven, until freedom, peace, freedom, and joy. The writer of this letter to the Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. When we look upon our Redeemer, Lord Jesus, who has redeemed all our sins, God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And don't you believe that Lord Jesus was born into this world to be our Savior? This is often questioned in our time, just like the whole Bible is questioned. People say that Bible is a book of its time. I often think that what time is now? If the Bible has been believed in for thousands of years, and how in the New Testament we can read how previous believers have believed. The New Testament has been, the Bible has been read, and it has opened to believers how we remain as children of God and how we are protected. Lord Jesus taught us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and after this, everything else will be given to you. First, the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is there where there is a believing person who has the gospel personally, the gift of faith. That gift, like we remembered earlier, is such that as owners of this gospel, we can preach sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. It has been remembered how Paul made a repentance and how Ananias preached sins forgiven. He was encouraged to go to Damascus, and there you will be told what to do. He was a humble man. He wanted to hear what God had to say, and he could believe his sins forgiven. What happened? Also in this we can see God's love. When Paul received the grace of repentance, he wasn't sent off that tried to manage, but the believers, so to speak, took Paul in their laps and took care of him. And then he couldn't help preach. He couldn't help but preach about the kingdom of God. Faith affects us in a way that we want to tell people how we believe if someone asks. Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. What was Lord Jesus like? We remember how the Bible tells us in many spots that when Jesus began to speak, who gathered around Jesus? Sinful people gathered around and wanted to listen to what Jesus had to say. They wanted to hear God, hear Jesus comfort them. They wanted to believe their sins forgiven. Lord Jesus wants to say this to us believers of today, that you can be comforted. You can believe your sins forgiven in the name and atoning blood of Lord Jesus. If there is someone in doubts and tempted, a child of God, pause before the Word of God. If you have been thinking, does this grace belong to me? The Heavenly Father sends you good greetings. This Word belongs to everyone who wants to believe, everyone who wants to believe this gospel. Even this evening, we can be comforted and believe all sins forgiven until peace, freedom, and joy. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins are forgiven. Dear brothers and sisters, you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. This task of a minister is such a task that we often have doubts. Most times we doubt that how will God help us? How will I manage with this task? Many have asked, that is it more difficult to preach at summer services compared to other services? But the task of a minister changes from place to place. Sometimes it is difficult to preach at small services. You have doubts of where to speak about. Sometimes it is easier. Sometimes God opens His Word a little more. But we have to be content with what God sees fit. We often have doubts and temptations. And I have been feeling my own sinfulness. And I want to ask that, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In this way, we can remain comforted and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.